Because I believe in the yin and yang, you know, like the that symbol, yin and yang, the black and white. When there's up, there's down. When there's light, there's dark. I believe in that wholeheartedly. Yeah. Like that to me resembles the entire universe. Mm-hmm. And when you perceive from that, you even if you go through a struggle, say a problem, there has to be a solution.
Yeah.
If there's a problem, there's a solution.
That's what my dad says, the same thing.
If there's always success, solutions. There's failure. Like it has to be a balance. Like always. Yeah. Always.
There's not going to be anything in life that like you can't clap with one hand. You know what I mean? That's kind of like a saying, there's always going to be another side of things, whether that be in an argument, someone else is going to always have another opinion, or whether that be success, there's going to be failure. There's a problem, there's going to be a solution.
Yeah.
Like anything in life, there's going to be problems. There's an answer. You may not know what the answer is for maybe a day, maybe a month, maybe a year, mm-hmm. but there's always going to be something to figure out a problem in life.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to 714 Podcast. Today, I'm here with Yash. How's it going?
Good, good, man. How are you doing?
Good, man. I mean, if you're watching this and you're thinking this is a totally different environment, you're not hallucinating. we're in a different office space right now. So, this is the new place. This is your first time on the podcast. Yes, it is. So you don't even know the other place, mm-hmm. but yeah, it was kind of hectic, like setting this shit up, because this is the first time I've ever been in here. But I'm glad you took the drive out here and we got to make it happen.
First time I'm meeting with you in person, so I know. I was looking forward to it. I remember you told me that you wanted me to come on the podcast a couple weeks ago, so finally glad to be here.
I know. Yeah, I remember when's the first like conversation we had? I think it was
it was related to business honors because I remember we were on the same website team or something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Back in the day. And you needed some help or something. Yeah. So then you hit me up, and then I think from there we just started talking.
Got connected. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you told me to obviously come on the podcast a couple weeks ago. So
I know. Dude, that was a long time ago when everything was on Zoom and shit like that.
That was right when the fucking pandemic happened. Bro. Yeah.
Now it's all behind us, though. Mm-hmm. I think for the most part, people are getting acclimated to just living life normally.
I think so, too. I feel like now that the vaccine has come out, people are so much more free. I can just tell, like, people were fed up, staying home all these months. And now I feel like it's also safe, too, you know, with the vaccine and stuff. Yeah. So I'm glad it's good to see everyone back in person, especially school now that's back in person as well. So getting to finally meet my friends and actually making some of that college experience happen. For me, my first year, I'm a sophomore, so my first year was all online.
Damn.
So finally, that's just stepping foot on campus this past couple months, right, has been really, really fun. So looking forward to more experiences on campus too. So.
Yeah. The whole college experience gets thrown out the window if it's online.
Yeah, like 100% agree. Totally.
You can't, the main part is, to me, more than just the actual learning and going to class, it's meeting new people, having joining different clubs and that environment in general is so important. Like for me, me and you both love basketball.
Yeah.
And every Tuesday and Thursday I'm on campus, and usually those days you could find me in the rec. In the rec from I'd say like 9:30 to 11, like you'll find me just balling up and having fun. Like that's where I met like most of my new friends this semester, is just like through basketball. That's it.
Yeah, we play. I play with some BH people. I played with some of my other friends on. Yeah. We usually play on Monday and Wednesday. Uh-huh. So we try to play every Monday, Wednesday, right after class. So we go at 1 right when we're done with our classes. So we run a couple games there, and then I try to work out the other couple of days, like the Tuesday, Thursday. Friday, I don't come to campus because I don't have any classes. Yeah, but playing basketball has been super fun, too, because like I kind of stopped playing basketball for a while. I would say like after maybe my junior year in high school is when I kind of stopped. I was never part of a team or anything, but like I played with my friends, and then I picked it up again after quarantine. I didn't play throughout quarantine. Yeah. I should have, because I literally had a hoop in my backyard,
really?
But I never did. And then now starting to play with people back in the gym is super fun, because I've always loved playing indoors because I feel like it's so much better with the flooring, and they give you like the rec gives us like good balls too, right?
Good
like
balls. Good and quality. There are always people there too.
There's always people if we have like a couple people short, there's always one or two people there like be like, you want to run? Like fuck it, and then we run with them. So
it's always a fun time, man. Just it not only is it a good workout, but for me it's just having like it for me right now, it's something to look forward to. If I just go to class every day and go there, and it's boring. But I get to hang out with friends over there. It's like you get your own group
going. I feel like it's a good like stress reliever for me too. Like I get so caught up with schoolwork and all these exams, and finally getting some time to go play basketball clears my headspace a lot. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just after basketball, I feel like I'm so much more relaxed. And finally afterwards, I do work after I, you know, finish up playing basketball. I can go do homework and stuff. And I feel like I'm so much more like focused because I just got my workout in, and it just feels so much better.
Yeah.
That's why even lifting weights, I get the same type of feeling after I lift weights. Like I just feel so relieved.
Yeah.
And I try to do it as consistently as possible. Some days, obviously, I miss it here and there, but I've been trying to get in. I've been lifting weights for the past, like, I would say 3 years now.
3 years.
So I used to be really, really skinny growing up. I was one of that small, short Indian kid, right? So I still consider myself huge, obviously, but I'm getting there. It takes some time, but lifting weights, I think, is one of the best things I picked up. My dad was the first person that introduced me to it. And then after that, I started watching videos on my own. And then I started going to the gym by my house not during COVID, but before COVID.
Yeah.
So I started lifting weights around 2018, I would say, and continued it ever since. And now, like I said, I play basketball some days, lift weights some days. So
yeah, that's all you need, bro. Like people who say like you got to work out like every single day, hardcore fucking 2 hours in the gym. No, bro. Yeah. Like you got to, if all consistency is the only thing that matters. If you go every other day or whatever your schedule is, whatever works for you, and you just keep that up for a long period of time, you'll see results that you want to see.
Yeah.
And you'll improve yourself.
Agreed. Because like, I'm obviously no bodybuilder, but like, I know your body, it grows, like your muscles glow when you're not working out, like when you're resting, right?
Yeah.
So you have to make sure you have proper recovery for it to show changes. And I kind of messed that up in the beginning. Like I wouldn't rest as much. I wouldn't sleep properly. Like, and I was noticing, I'm like, why am I not getting any bigger? I'm going to the gym. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to eat as much as I can. Right. And I'm like, I started realizing like, maybe I don't rest enough. Maybe I don't sleep enough.
Yeah.
And once I started changing some of those routines, I started noticing a lot more changes in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, the sleeping and the rest, taking a couple extra rest days here and there really makes a big difference.
Damn. That's crazy. Yeah. Like how important rest is. Cause I think, just now through science and research that people are doing, we're seeing how important the recovery stage is.
100%.
And you're seeing it with athletes. Like they're, I don't think in the 90s and shit, they were talking about recovery.
No, and of course not.
All this. They're saying work hard every day, go to practice, this
and
that.
Now with the expanding science and stuff.
Yeah, now they're actually showing results that if you rest more often or you go to cryotherapy, you go in a sauna, you do different massages or whatever, that actually benefits you in the long run and it'll improve your results, which is
definitely
way better. Yeah.
And I'm great that like, you know, people are starting to figure that out now.
Mm-hmm.
And cause a lot of times, like you said, it was just train, but like recovery is just as important, if not more important.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly, like I said, when your muscles do recover and recharge. Mm-hmm. So you have, if you get proper rest in between sessions, I feel like I do much better when I actually have like, obviously I don't take every, like, I don't rest every day, but like if I, let's say, work out, I try to work out maybe 2-3 days in a row and then I take a rest day and then I come back and it feels like, and if I don't do that, I feel like my performance is not as at its peak because my muscles haven't.
And there's something about taking a break and then coming back that gets you like
better
mentally 100%. There as well.
Yeah, definitely. Because
it seems so monotonous if every week you're doing like the same few exercises. Yeah. That's why when you mentioned like YouTube videos and shit.
Yeah.
That was monumental in my like physical journey is because learning, my dad also like taught me everything about the gym and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to YouTube and I started seeing other people's workouts, like there's Bradley Martin, Simeon Panda, all those like huge guys.
Big guys.
Gorillas, man. Yeah. They could fucking
huge
bench like so much and squat crazy numbers of weights. And when I watched those guys and I started to pick up different things, different exercises, that helped me so much because I was doing the same exercises for a number of months. And at some point your body just plateaus.
Yeah.
Like if you do something consistently,
100%.
That's true. Just plateaus and you need something else. And when I found those videos and I started doing different exercises, then it goes up again.
I think it's a combination of so many different things, right? Bodybuilding I feel like it's an art form itself, right? Like you got to make sure you're eating right. You got to make sure you're sleeping right. and recovery. And then lastly, obviously it's a combination of three things, the two I just mentioned, and then the training itself. Mm-hmm. And like you just said, you have to change up your routine, because if you continue to do the same thing over time, your body's going to get used to it. And a lot of people just say increase the weight, but like, you know, sometimes even then, like sometimes you don't get the full results you want to achieve, right? Mm-hmm. So there's so many different variations of the same type of workout that you just got to look more into and figure that out, right? Different type of workouts for different type of body parts, of course.
Yeah.
So like you said, making sure you get over that plateau, and it's a combination of three things. Maybe you're doing the training right, but you're not eating right, and mm-hmm. you're plateauing there.
And then the rest, all that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it could pop up, basically be a combination of all three.
Yeah, which
could
definitely. You probably seen like the bodybuilders and stuff. I think there was some big event recently.
Uh-huh.
Somebody just won. I forget the guy's name.
Was it like a bodybuilding?
Yeah, bodybuilding. Like I don't think it was Mr. Olympia. Maybe it was, mm-hmm. but like they have those shows, and those guys, they're on another level. Like they have to. It's not like strongman where you lift the most amount of weight and stuff like that.
Oh, it's not like powerlifting.
Yeah,
right?
It's not powerlifting. It's just like flexing your muscles and shit.
Oh, yes, they come out in in the front and like they're like flexing, right?
Yeah,
and so they're they're like tan. They like put coating or something. Yeah.
Just to like oil or whatever.
I know what you're talking about. I've seen those videos.
Just to be the most aesthetically pleasing to the judges. Like that's it.
Yep,
that's
I've seen
the whole
those
thing. Yeah.
There's this people, I don't know, he's not that famous on YouTube, Just Merc, I think. I think that's what it is.
I think I've heard of
him. He won one of those type of bodybuilding shows too.
Really?
So like I think that's what he does. Like he goes to these shows and like he looked all dark and stuff. So like I said, they probably put some type of oil or something in, and he basically flexed in front of the judges. And I think he did win one of them, but there's been so many shows like that.
It might've been Mr. Olympia. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger, he did it in his prime when he was doing bodybuilding and stuff. But yeah, that's another insane level, because you're not only doing it for just like your mental health or physical health, you're trying to get it now to the point where it's aesthetically pleasing for others.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they get money, right? If they win this stuff. Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's like kind of like a job for them.
Yeah,
right?
It's a job for sure. That's insane. Like all those guys who are professional athletes or professional, anything that has to do with physical shape and stuff, they've gotten to the point where you have to have nutritional coaches and stuff like that.
It's literally it's part of their job, right? Like that's what they do. They're all so big on social media presence as well, right? They're all over the internet. And I feel like they have to maintain that presence, because if they want to get to like these type of shows and stuff, because having such a big following on their social media pages is not only influences other people, but it also makes them famous to like people trying to come recruit for those shows as well, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like having a big social media presence helps them as well. Mm-hmm. I've seen it all over TikTok. Like I see all these people showing different type of workouts and like I've seen it on YouTube too. I think over the past year, TikTok has grown big time for like
definitely
weightlifting and training.
Yeah, more people are getting, I didn't know how many people were in fitness, like doing fitness as a like social media stuff like that, but there's a lot of people
shit ton of people,
which is good. Like it's a good thing that they're showing awareness for people, or trying to inspire people. Maybe they were going through a rough time, they might have been overweight or skinny, and they show their journey.
100% agree on that one. I think I've seen so many transformation videos on TikTok over the past year. I think a lot of people can attest to that.
Yeah,
so many different videos.
It's crazy.
Different type of people, different type of body types, and seeing what they can achieve, it makes me want to think like, wow, I could do that one day too, right? And I want to be the person behind that phone and making that transformation video.
Yeah,
it's insane to see how much dedication some of these people put into it. And it's like, on top of that, they have a family, they have a job, and they're still able to manage going to the gym and finding a time to work out.
Yeah,
right? So a lot of times I feel like when people say they don't have time for the gym or they don't have time for that, it's like, really though, like I've seen so many other people making time for it. Like I feel like in life, if you make time for things that are important to you, and if going to the gym is important to you, you'll find a 45 minutes in the day.
Yeah.
Whether that be at home, because I've seen so many people picking up working out at home now. Or whether it be going to the gym for a little bit, getting in a workout. Like, you know, obviously you don't have to work out for like 2 hours each session.
Yeah.
Because let's say you don't train as much, you only train 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have to train for 2 hours. But if you're going to go 4 or 5 times a week, you don't need to train for like 2 hours a day, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So.
Yeah, it's and like basketball, like so many other activities that you could do. just to improve not only your physical health but mental health too.
It helps. I feel like even in the sports industry now, like, mental health is becoming such an important, like, aspect of the game. Definitely. And, like, I've seen so many different commercials, I feel like, of not just basketball, like, a lot of sports, especially regarding mental health. And I feel like I'm glad that the NBA and other NFL and other sports organizations have started to become aware of that and spread their influence on it through commercials, through whatnot. But, like, I really enjoy that they're focusing on that, because I've had some experiences, not myself, but I know people who've been going through things like that, and seeing how these professionals are also going through something like this, it's like, wow, it's comforting knowing that, oh, it's not just me, or it's not just some of my friends.
Yeah, I mean, everybody goes through, like, mental thoughts. Like, it's a thought is one of the greatest, it could be your greatest friend or your worst enemy. Like, both ways exist. And learning how to have disciplining your thoughts throughout, like, whatever. And I've started to do that a lot more with during the pandemic, just learning how to go, like, I've done a few meditations, like, learning how to calm my mind, even if something went wrong or something, or I'm focusing on the past or focusing on the future, I could just bring myself into the present moment. Because sometimes we get so worried about whatever's going to come up next that we lose sight that right here is just the moment.
Live in the moment. I've heard that line so many different times from so many different people, but, like, I never live up to that. My mind is always either in the past or it's always in the present thinking about something that's coming up. Like, I can never find a time to just be content with, like, what's happening in the moment, right? And I feel like once I can master that, like, I've obviously worked towards that, but, like, I feel like that would be such a great accomplishment, knowing that, like, I'm not worrying about things that are out of my control. And I feel like that's a big, big thing that not only that I've noticed in people around me, but myself as well, that it's just, like, I don't sometimes stop and, like, take a step back and look at the bigger picture and a lot of different things. Like, I get so caught up in the day to day that I don't take, like, a step back and realize, like, what have I accomplished? What have I done that deserves some type of praise, right? Like, you know, obviously there's going to be hurdles that come along the way, but after I feel like I knock down each of those hurdles, I should take a step back and, you know, really look at what I want to do, whether that be with my career, personal life, fitness, anything. And I just think really realizing that and learning to live in the moment is probably one of the biggest things people should try to take away from life and just, you know, try to implement. But it's obviously easier said than done.
Yeah, it's definitely easier said than done, because it's... The mastery of your mind is your greatest accomplishment. Like, I think being, getting to that state of awareness of knowing that your thoughts control your feelings, which control your actions. Like, that's something I've learned. And most people, they try to focus everything on action. Like, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
If I want to get here, I want to get to a certain position, something that I want.
Yeah.
Where do I, how they do I do
exactly
it?
How, yeah. What how steps do I take it? To get there?
Yeah. But what I've learned and what's more effective and what makes me enjoy the process more is understanding that I had to change my thoughts first. Like, how am I going to, how is not something that you had to take care of?
Yeah.
That's something that when you change your thoughts and basically how you think, you're going to start going towards that. Like, you put whatever you put your mind towards, I think that's what...
I think that's right.
That's what goes.
Changing the mind before you put the foot on the pedal, kind of. Like, get your mind right before you make a move. I think it's, like, same thing with, like, when a lot of times when you get mad, you make a quick reaction. Like, no, you want to take a step back. You want to think real first and then take that step. And I feel like you got to apply that everywhere in life, not just whenever you want to get, you know, move up or in the corporate world, or you want to achieve something. It's like any type of... any experience you come across, you don't want to take an action right away. Like, you want to think for a little bit, you know, what moves do I want to take? What, maybe I need to think a little more strategically here and then make a decision. And I feel like consulting with people too helps, but a lot of times too many opinions can be detrimental as well. So you got to find that balance.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think balance is one of the key things in life as well. I definitely agree with you on that one. Like, getting your mind right before you make a move, make an action.
Yeah. Literally everything that you do is, or everything that you experience is part of your state of mind. Like, if you're in a shitty mood, food is going to taste worse.
Yeah.
Like, I've experienced that where if I'm in a depressed state, then the food tastes worse. Meeting with other people, I can't show love with them because Wayne Dyer. He's a great speaker, mm-hmm. Wayne Dyer. And he said this one thing, you can only give what you have. Yeah. So if you have hate in your heart, if you're
sad
or depressed or whatever, that's all you're going to give to the world. That's the energy you're going to give off. And if you have love and happiness and positive energy, that's all you're going to give off.
Yeah.
And I think discipline to getting to the positive place more often is just knowing that feeling, knowing that's how I want to feel, and setting a standard for yourself that this is, I'm going to only think thoughts that are going to empower me.
Yeah. I think that's a great point you made there. Like knowing, like a lot of times if you're going to be sad, the people around you are going to notice that you're sad. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you're happy, you know, people around you are going to know you're happy. Like, I feel like you give off a different type of energy depending on the mood you're in. Like you said, that's true, right? If I'm going to be sad and I'm going to be mad, people are going to know that. And people are going to be like, why is Yash so mad right now? Or why is he so sad? But if I'm happy talking to everyone, you know, you can tell that, oh no, he's in a good mood today, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like obviously you're going to have those days. You're going to have the days where it's not always going to be happy. Life is rough. You're going to have those sad days, mad days, whatever. But knowing how to overcome that and knowing that, accepting the fact that that's going to happen.
Yeah, acceptance.
Right? That's like one of the big, like right, you have to accept that, look, life is not going to only be all positives. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of challenges, obstacles that come along the way. But if you know how to handle them, you know, reaching out to the right people, getting your headspace right mm-hmm. before making a decision, and just taking the time to think things through. Obviously, you're going to make those, you know, whatever, spontaneous moves sometimes. That's how life is. And that's where some of the fun is as well.
Yeah, that's how you learn.
That's exactly how you learn.
If you don't do anything wrong, you don't know what's right.
Right, exactly. So. And whether that be just in, you know, corporate world, working, family life, personal anything, life, like anything. If you're not going to know what you did wrong initially, you're going to make a mistake. Everyone make a mistake. Mm-hmm. I feel like knowing exactly how to learn from them. Obviously, everyone says learn from your mistakes. But like how exactly going about that process and learning from them and knowing and learning, like figuring out exactly how to, like, how do I do something different now, knowing that I made that mistake? And I think that's really important as well. And it helps you in your later stages of life growing up, because you're going to come across, I would say, multitude of challenges. I feel like I already have, and my life, there's so much more
we're
coming.
We're still young, yeah. Right. You're going to go through problems, but when you are able to, Salim, we talked about him earlier. He said something great, or he said a quote from, I think Abraham Lincoln said it, perception is reality. So when you understand that how you think and how you perceive the world is exactly how you're going to perceive everything, you're going to start to look at how can I perceive the world differently? Because I believe in the yin and yang, you know, like the that symbol, yin and yang, the black and white. When there's up, there's down. When there's light, there's dark. I believe in that wholeheartedly. Yeah. Like that to me resembles the entire universe. Mm-hmm. And when you perceive from that, even if you go through a struggle, say a problem, there has to be a solution.
Yeah.
If there's a problem, there's a solution.
That's what my dad says, the same thing.
If there's success, there's failure. Like it has to be a balance. Like always.
Yeah.
Always.
There's not going to be anything in life that like you can't clap with one hand. You know what I mean? That's kind of like a saying, there's always going to be another side of things, whether that be in an argument, someone else is going to always have another opinion, or whether that be success, there's going to be failure. There's a problem, there's going to be a solution.
Yeah.
Like anything in life, there's going to be problems. There's an answer. You may not know what the answer is for maybe a day, maybe a month, maybe a year, but there's always going to be something to figure out a problem in life. There's very few problems where there's no solution to, right?
And where you live, we're living in an amazing time where we have so much information, like with all these devices, the internet, thousands and millions of people have lived before us, like an ungodly amount of people have lived before us that have gone through a lot of problems, that have wrote it down in books, that have wrote it down and made videos about it and did. There's so many of that. There's so much of that. And all it takes is maybe a little bit of research or a Google to find something that inspires you and that makes your perception change.
Yeah.
When that's all it is knowledge. All it does is change your perception.
Yeah.
When you get new information, it changes who you are,
how you
think, how you interact with people, and gaining the right knowledge can radically change everything for you.
I think that quote you said, perception is reality, I think that's a really interesting quote, because like you said, what you think is kind of like, if you're going to perceive something is going to be bad. If I go into something knowing that, oh, this is going to be bad, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, definitely.
If I go into something thinking it's going to be good, most likely it'll be good. Mm-hmm. You always want to always hope for the best, but you may expect the worst sometimes. Mm-hmm. But knowing that perception is just something that I feel like you have to really change. And it takes a time. It's going to take some time, because a lot of times maybe some people are pessimistic and they go into a lot of different things having a negative outlook. But taking the time to really change your thinking and changing your perception, because at the end of the day, that's what you're going to, that's what reality, like the quote said, that's what reality is, right? Yeah. What you think.
But you mentioned it's going to take some time. I'll tell you why it takes some time. It's because humans in general are very habitual.
Yeah.
We do a lot of things every single day and we do it habitually. We have rituals. Even if we're unconscious of it, we still have some type of ritual and habit, a lot of habits. And that's due in part from our mind. There's something called the subconscious mind. I don't know if you've heard about that, conscious and subconscious.
Sort of. I think so, maybe.
So conscious is whatever you're thinking right now, whatever you're thinking about, you're thinking that this is red or whatever. Subconscious is the repetition of thoughts that you continuously think about, go into your subconscious, and it goes in there with emotion. So whatever you become emotionally involved in goes into your subconscious, and or if you just do it so many amounts of times.
Yeah.
And from, I believe, when you're born to about age 7, you have no real conscious mind. Everything just goes into your subconscious. That's why kids can learn so many languages.
Yeah.
Because it just goes straight into their subconscious, without... Mm-hmm. any thought, just because they're in a certain environment. If you look at kids who are brought up in a bad neighborhood, they're going to do exactly what the other people are doing, because it just goes straight into their subconscious. Mm-hmm. Now, the only way to reprogram that, let's say you are pessimistic and you want to be optimist, you got to start listening and being around positive people every single day, or
you are listening. Who you hang out with.
Yeah.
And I think that's what someone, I forgot who told me that, but you are literally a product of the people you hang around and the people you spend time with. And if you're going to spend time with people that are not going to help you change your thinking, obviously there's only one person that's going to help you change your thinking, and that's yourself.
Yeah, that's you.
Right? You're going to have people around you to help you get there, like stepping stones, but at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to have to make the decision and make the change. But like you said, if you're you mentioned with that person went up in a, not so good neighborhood. But if you don't have the right people around you, attaining that, mind switch is going to be very, very challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And through the internet, I mentioned before the podcast, Gary Vee, he's also a great guy. There's so many other people through the internet that you could just put on a podcast or
the tip of your fingers. You can literally search
something. Just listen to positive information and that'll start programming your mind in that right way. And then once you get to the repetition of it, then it'll just be a habit to you. You won't even have to think about it consciously and you'll be a positive person.
Yeah, that's a great point. Going off of quotes as well, I know this one quote, obviously I think it's Wayne Gretzky. I'm pretty sure he said that you miss 100% of shots you don't take. Obviously,
Michael Jordan, I think something similar.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I feel like it's so cliche. It's so cliche, but I feel like, that's something I also want to, I try to live by as well. I think in anything, it's if you don't take the risk, you're not going to get the reward. Obviously with the risk, there's potential drawbacks as well. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with anything, going up to a person asking for help, going, just taking a shot at anything, whether that be taking that financial risk, taking another risk, you always have to take educated risks, I would say, in life. But I feel like if you don't take that risk, if you don't take that, opportunity, you never know where you could have gone with that.
Yeah.
And I feel like taking the chance to, face the things that come in your life that are obviously going to have some positive impact, I feel like you should take them head on, right? And just go for it. I feel like that's something I try to live by and try to tell my friends around me as well. It's like if you have an opportunity that can potentially lead you somewhere, go ahead and take it. Mm-hmm. Snag that opportunity. But I think that was another quote.
Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
And then I think Michael Jordan took it or something. He said something about the shots or whatever, or that he missed so many shots. Something about that. Mm-hmm. Another great speaker that I mentioned on the podcast before. His name is Jim Rohn. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I don't know. I don't think so.
But he said everything is risky. Like,
yeah,
the moment you're born,
it's risky.
It's life risky. Is a risk. Like, you're,
yeah.
If you want to live everything safe, go huddle in a corner and
live in a bubble.
Yeah, live in a bubble and you'll be. But then what kind of life is that? There's no ups, there's no downs.
No, like that's, anytime that's I feel like you step out of the house, you're taking a risk.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's what my mom always told me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, obviously, you're not going to just be scared of that and not. Like, we go in a car almost every day. Like, that's one of the biggest risks I take, but I'm still going to do it. Right.
Yeah.
So, like, it taking the right ones, limiting the harmful risk and taking advantage of the ones that can potentially lead you to some reward. I feel like that's where you want to draw the line and knowing which risk, like I said, to take and which ones to kind of avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. But to me, if you know what you want, like if, let's say something is that you want to do in your career, you have, it's going to take a lot out of you to get there.
Yeah.
If you really want it, I think you'll do what the price is easy when the vision is clear.
I agree with you that I feel like if there's something I'm passionate about, I feel like I work so much harder towards it versus something I don't care about.
Yeah.
Like I think, I don't know exactly what it is, but like maybe I think I can use school as an example.
Like something.
Like some classes I didn't really have an interest for. Like I obviously do the work, but like I would never have like a little like passion. Like let me work a little harder.
Yeah.
Maybe when I've come across some classes that I really enjoyed, like I noticed that I would put more work towards that, I'll pay more attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just an analogy compared to school, but I feel like just in life in general, anything that someone has a passion towards, I noticed that like, you put so much more effort into it. And obviously sometimes those passions may not be always like super realistic. It may not get you very far. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times I feel like those passions are what people have as like an outlook to their part of their life. Like, you know, it's something they look forward to doing, or like whether that playing basketball or going to the gym, like that's all hobbies, I would say, and passions, and people make time for them.
Yeah.
And like what I had said, I mentioned earlier, you make time for things that are like, you know, obviously important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, that's great. And you know, making, going to the gym or going to play basketball or reading that book or spending time with family, whatever that might be,
yeah,
I just think that's amazing, and making time for it is probably one of the key things that people have to try to figure out.
Yeah, it definitely, it's that desire for whatever it is. I know every single human being has some type of desire for whether it's happiness or success or family or health, whatever it is, that desire to gain more from this life experience, go for it. Because anything else, if you can imagine it, I think it's real. Like if you can imagine wherever you want to be, you can have it. But anything less than that, if you say, well, it's been a year, why I should stop or whatever, you're basically like killing your soul. Mm-hmm. Like you just feel terrible.
Yeah.
Like for this podcast, for example, when I, like those months I told you before on how I started and stuff, I had so many opinions of like, what about other people? What are they going to think?
Yeah.
Is this going to work or this and that? Like, and then Gary V, he had one video and it said, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's so fucking true though.
You're going to die, bro. And when I heard that and I was like, I cannot live. I would not be able to live with myself and live with the regret of not doing it.
Exactly.
Not doing it.
Exactly. I feel like that's so much in life. Like anything you want, like you, it's inevitable. You're going to pass away one day, right? You want to take that risk. Like that's take it, that shot.
That literally dissolves every fear.
Yeah.
Every fear goes away.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just, the fear is, you'll feel it, but it's now battled with understanding of what do I have to lose?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Right. And I feel like that's so true with a lot of different things. I feel like one of them is obviously like opening a business. Like that's something I sometimes think about, being like, you know, my own boss, whatnot. And like you said, you're going to die. Like it's a big, huge financial risk, right? It's like I'm taking all this capital and investing into that business. And what if it doesn't work out? But then there's also a flip side of that. What if it does?
Yeah.
Right.
And even if it doesn't, like you'll learn a lot more from you'll grow as a person from doing it.
Exactly.
You know, especially if you're doing it because there's a deep passion in doing it. A lot of people, I think they do it because they want the reward or they want something from it. But when you start a business and you're doing it like for example, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
He fucking loves what he does.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he cares about money. Like, he just...
That's a good point to make.
He's... What I think now he just passed the richest person in the world, right?
Yeah.
Like, now he's the richest person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
This man is just passionate about everything he does. He doesn't even do anything that doesn't inspire him, that doesn't drive him towards something. Like Tesla, he just created that, I think, because he wanted to make cars electric and stuff. Yeah. So he found a deep passion in that. SpaceX wants to explore space, go to Mars. Like, most people would think this man's fucking crazy.
Crazy, yeah. But he has a true passion for it, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, and it's you can tell. It's evident that he really, really cares about it. And mm-hmm. like you're noticing, like, money may not be his driving factor. And I feel like that's one important factor to success. I feel like money, obviously you're gonna need money, but like
I think the making, money
that shouldn't be the first thing you think about.
The money comes when you're
exactly
doing it.
Exactly. And having other type of goals besides the monetary value in a lot of different things. Especially if it comes to like making a business or being working, trying to get that salary raise. Like, obviously money is important, like I mentioned, but you want to make sure that you're passionate about it. And I feel like if you're going to do the work and if you're going to put in the work, like anything, people will recognize it. And if they don't, then you have to speak up about it, because like no one's going to give you anything. No one's just going to hand you out, oh, here's a pay raise. Like,
yeah.
No, you're going to have to negotiate. You're going to have to talk. You're going to be like, maybe they're going to ask you, what have you done to this business or to this company that mm-hmm. deserves you get a raise, right? Show me.
Yeah.
Right. And just having the ability to speak up, like I feel like with anything, like knowing, okay, I maybe need some help now. Let me go talk to someone, whether that be my mental health, physical health, or exactly like getting a pay raise. Like, no one's just gonna give you a pay mm-hmm. raise. Gotta ask for it. And I think that I learned that the hard way, you know, growing up, I wouldn't really ask too many questions and stuff. And once I started realizing like, oh, wait, people are there to help me. Mm-hmm. That's what my teachers are for. That's what my parents are for. That's what my friends are for as well. Like, just starting to speak to more people and ask for help, I realized that unlocks so much more potential in me.
Yeah.
Learning from others and learning from my mistakes and obviously their mistakes too, and combining them all together into my own type of personality.
Yeah, that's definitely important. Learning from others and from your own self mm-hmm. is... Fuck, that'll make you unstoppable.
The freaking pandemic last year, I was home all day, right? Freaking doing nothing. And I started realizing a little more. I started thinking more. Like, I would obviously have these random ass thoughts because mm-hmm. I was alone in my room. Like, you know, but I started to like really grow as a person. And I feel like one of my other good friends, he also mentioned that to me. It was like 2020 was like, obviously it was a bad year for the people around us and all the countries.
You definitely grow.
But I feel like I did grow too.
With solitude.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember... And what was it? I think in high school, my junior and senior year of high school, I got out of class early than my brother, and my parents were at work. And so I got to go home, and for like, I'd say 2 hours, I'd be by myself, like just alone.
Mm-hmm.
And for like months out of the year, I'd be by myself. And so that solitude time allowed me to think way more, and just when you're able to get those thoughts out and you're not worried about other people or doing anything, you're just letting it go, like letting your mind
I think that's super a good point to make, because like a lot of times I've noticed people around me who don't like to be alone at all, like they always want to be around people,
mm-hmm.
but then there's some people I know that are too, like they just want to be alone all the time, like I said, balance is key here. Like, you want to have some alone time, because if you're always around, like you never get time to yourself. Like, I need me
you
time.
Need some right? mental fortitude building.
Exactly. And I feel like you need a key balance of speaking to the right people, like mm-hmm. I said, you're always a product of who you surround yourself with, and then having also the solitude part of it as well, knowing some time to unwind and really think. And, you know, I think journaling, I don't do that personally, mm-hmm. but I feel like I know some of my friends who do that. I think some of my cousins, and I think it really, really helps. And I was looking into it. I never really picked it up.
Yeah.
But now that I think of it, like, I feel like it's so helpful, because just jotting down, especially at the end of the day, just take 5 minutes before you go to bed, like part of your nighttime routine, just jotting down things that happened in the day. And what your goals are for the next day, right? Maybe let's keep it a little more short term, and then have mm-hmm. another book. Maybe that's kind of your long-term goals. And once you kind of, you know, compare the two and see where you're at, I feel like that's so helpful. And I really want to start something like that, but I've definitely never come across.
I'm like, I haven't done it, but I've heard about it. And I had a guest on a few months ago. He's Alexander Beck. He does poetry. He just wrote a book, a bunch of poetry. He's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Check him out. Check out that podcast, and his book is amazing. But he talked about journaling, and he showed me, like, I was doing the podcast, and it was through Zoom. So he was in his room, and he showed me all the, like, he had a bookcase worth of journals for 3 years.
Wow.
3 years of journaling. Wow. And he's like, it has really helped me. And since he's a poet, he doesn't journal in the sense like, this was my day and that. Like, he talks about his emotions and mm-hmm. what he felt and how he could feel better doing this. And like, it grounds him doing that.
Yeah.
So it puts you in that mm-hmm. place of letting those thoughts go out on paper. And when you see it on paper, it doesn't feel as scary, or if you're going through a bad time, it doesn't feel as rough when you know that this is temporary. Like, I've gone through this shit before, you know, we could get past this. And yeah, it's definitely helped. But for me, instead of journaling, I like to just sit and think. It's better for me, or like mm-hmm. listen to music.
Yeah, obviously it's different like for each person, but listening to music too, it does help. I've noticed, like, I try to listen to music while I'm doing things like homework and whatnot. Like, it doesn't work for me.
No.
But like, I've listened to so much more music over the past year. It's insane. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of music I picked up and new artists really? I've been starting to listen to has just grown so
Who's
much.
Who's your new favorite artist?
New favorite?
What have you been listening to the most?
Honestly, I've been listening to a lot. I listen to like R&B. I listen to rap. Indian music has been on the rise. I used to obviously listen to that growing up, but I didn't really listen to it for a while. Uh-huh. I kind of like dropped off because I was always like, oh, Indian music, I don't want to listen to it.
But yeah, dude. My parents would have like, before Bluetooth and shit, they would have the CDs.
Oh, yeah. CDs. You know, I remember we had a minivan and like they would play these like really old songs. Like it's like we were young, right? So it was like children's songs. And I still, one time I forgot where it was, I heard that song and I told my mom, like, oh shit, this is what we used to have in the van. Like these old VR or whatever that was, CDs, right?
CDs, yeah.
Yeah. And no, I mean, other artists I've been getting into recently, I feel like has been more kind of like, obviously, they're really popular, but mm-hmm. obviously the Drakes, Kanye.
Yeah.
But then I've also been a little bit more low-key artists, like, like Daniel Caesar.
Yeah.
A little bit of him. And, like, I think, though, in general, like, I would say hip-hop and pop, hip-hop slash pop. Like, obviously, they're two different genres, but hip-hop and pop are basically my top genres I listen to.
Yeah, same. That's about the same for me. Like, but recently, I just start exploring more on, you know how on Spotify they have Explore mm-hmm. or whatever, like new songs to listen to and shit. Like, I just go on that, and I also have Tidal. Mm-hmm. And I just go on there and they have a bunch of different songs and every day they renew mm-hmm. that list. And so I just press play and mm-hmm. most of the time you don't find anything, but sometimes you find a really good song.
I just went to a Don Toliver concert on Saturday.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Do you listen to Don Toliver?
Yeah. I think my other friend was there too. I forget.
Yeah. So, that was the first, I would say, I went to a concert before that. Kygo, he's like a DJ.
Okay.
So that was more of the EDM type of music. And then this was like more of the rap music. Mm-hmm. That got obviously two different type of concerts.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun this past weekend because it makes a difference when you know all their songs.
Yeah.
I feel like with Kygo, I didn't really know much of his music. Still a great performer.
Mm-hmm.
But with Don Toliver, like, I felt like I knew a lot of
his music.
Songs verbatim, like some of them. I've listened to him so much. And it was just super, super fun. And I've always wanted to go to more concerts. Last year, it was tough because of the pandemic.
Yeah. I don't think anybody toured hard. Yeah. Like, nobody went on tour.
Yeah. So this was Don Toliver's first tour, actually. Mm. So he just came out with the album Life of a Don.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. So he went on tour for that. And then I don't think Drake went on a tour. I don't think
Not yet.
Yeah.
I went to a Drake concert.
Oh, you did? Which one?
But in 2018, when Scorpion came out. So it was him, Migos, everybody.
Oh, was that the one where LeBron came on the stage?
That was the day after.
Oh, that was the day after?
Yeah.
LeBron,
Travis Scott. Uh-huh. Yeah, they all came.
Oh, my
God.
I
got crazy. Chris Brown, Tyga,
uh-huh.
Migos, of course, and Drake.
Wow.
It was like, I think, like at least 2 hours. It was crazy.
I've always seen that LeBron video on YouTube or on Instagram. That video is freaking crazy.
Amazing.
And I've always wanted to go to Travis concert too. I would say Travis probably my top listener.
Yeah, Travis Scott is like insane. His concerts,
performance are so crazy. Yeah. Along with Playboi Carti.
Oh, yeah.
His concerts are really crazy too. The mosh pits are insane.
I think Playboi Carti was in a small venue, like not even an arena. I think it was a theater. I saw, no, I didn't see him, but uh-huh. in a video I saw him. And people were just like jumping. Shit, like the whole fucking
no fucks given.
Shaking,
like
they,
like people don't yeah. care. Like they're just like shirtless, like crazy. You know, just dripping sweat. Like yeah. it's just like wow, like how this that's life how, they just love it.
Yeah, some that's what his music, like Playboi Carti or Travis, like yeah. some of his songs. That's how it makes them feel, and it just like yeah. fucking.
I love their rage. Music. I listen to all yeah. of them, Carti, like Travis. Like I would say that. I got into a lot more rap my senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. Like I've obviously listened to it growing up. You know, yeah. that was one of my first things my friend introduced me to back in seventh grade was rap music. But
what,
I kind of just
artist.
I think
he
showed me. I forgot what song it was. I think it might have been Big Sean.
Big Sean.
Maybe yeah. I don't know. I think it was either him.
Mine was Drake.
Or I don't fuck with you. I think that was the first yeah, rap yeah. song I ever heard.
Really.
And ever since then, I just got into more and more rap, more artists. Mm-hmm. And I used to listen to a lot of Pitbull and like Taylor Swift. Growing
yeah.
up, or not like middle school days and early high school,
yeah, yeah.
And then I started to venture out more into hip hop,
mm-hmm.
and then more hip hop and R&B, and then I obviously picked up indie music in the past two, three years as well.
Yeah, that's also a vibe.
Yeah, indie music is really, really good. There's yeah. also been it's like more right, like up and coming is not like there's obviously Bollywood music, right, that come from the movies, and then there's mm-hmm. also like AP Dylan and like other artists
yeah,
that are coming out, Mickey Singh, like they
because
come out with just
seeing,
singles, right?
They're seeing what artists over here do, like you don't have yeah. to make a movie
to make a song. Exactly.
Yeah, that's something that I think most people over here don't understand is that,
mm-hmm.
and we have movies over here, of course.
Yeah.
But over in India for Bollywood, the movie they basically hire somebody to record songs, and that person who records the songs, like it's basically more popular if you do a movie and a song. Compared to if you just put out a song, like that's what the
in
India. Mm-hmm. So that was like the kind of general idea or that had people not venture out into creating their song without the movie. But now they're seeing with Spotify, with streaming platforms and stuff that you could do it without a movie. Like you could just mm-hmm. put out songs
yeah.
and stuff. And that's what you're seeing.
Yeah,
there.
Definitely. And I feel like those songs are really good too. Like some of them, I don't listen to them all, but I've listened to a good amount. And obviously I still think Bollywood would probably be my favorite, like yeah. from the movies. Cause like I grew up listening to that. Mm-hmm. And whenever I hear some of those songs, it reminds me of the, like when I was small and like when we would go to like a lot of places, my mom and dad would, like I said, those CDs,
yeah.
they would always have like those type of songs on there from movies
yeah.
back in the day, like the 2000s. Like I was born in 2002. So like from then to like 2000, like, maybe like 12, 13, like all
yeah,
those movies
definitely.
Up until then, like all the songs, it's like, I stopped listening to them. Like I told you, right? I never listened to indie
yeah.
music.
Once I found out what Bluetooth was and
yeah.
that I could find my own music and shit, and I was like,
that
all
is
right,
life
we ain't
changer.
Playing this shit.
Yeah, like honestly now, like we got a new car too. And I told my dad, I'm like, one thing I need is just Bluetooth. I don't give
yeah.
a shit what else is in the rest of the car. I just need to have my music. That's
mm-hmm.
it. Like
yeah,
that's honestly all I care for. Like in car, whatever, I don't give a shit about the other features. Like take me to point A to point B. Let me play my music. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not asking for too much.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely the music is a life changer, man. Like it helps me when I'm in a happy mood, sad mood, pissed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
everything.
I can always turn to music.
Yeah.
And obviously when I work out, any different, I always listen to music.
Yeah.
So
many artists and everybody
yeah.
it's some artists like tell a story and shit. Like when I listen to like Jay-Z or something, mm-hmm. like
yeah.
I learned from that.
Yeah.
Like
they always, some of them really have some core
messages
to
yeah.
to tell their fans. I feel like more recently I've noticed some lyrics don't, like I'm like, what the fuck does
yeah.
this mean, right?
Like
it doesn't
Gunna,
have any meaning.
Gunna
yeah.
doesn't have any
yeah I feel like
meaning,
there's
but I'll still listen to that because
yeah.
if you just put him, he could flow on like so many great beats.
Yeah.
And when you listen to that, you're not trying to take something from it, you're just trying to experience whatever
yeah.
it's like. Just put your headphones on and just
yeah.
play the whole album
because
yeah. you're just going to sit there.
Yeah.
yeah,
I know. Yeah. I feel like Issa mentioned, some of the artists really don't have meanings. Like, I don't
yeah.
know specifically who, but maybe like you said, Gunna.
But it's different.
But
I think the people who do have the meanings, they're out there as well. Like you don't have to, it's not that everybody has like no meaning.
Yeah.
They're out there.
They're out there, of course.
But there are, it's been on the rise where more people are doing it for the rhythm and not enough meaning.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, what type of, like, obviously besides hip hop and indie music, are there any other genres
oh, yeah.
you specifically like?
Listen to jazz,
uh-huh.
like Frank
okay.
Sinatra,
wow.
Whoever, John Coltrane, a lot of those, Etta James, Nina Simone, I started, I think I was curious. I heard of Frank Sinatra, maybe I've heard of his name growing up, but I didn't know any of his music. So one day, I think in 2017 ish, I just went on Spotify, looked his name up, and started listening to his music. And then there's a lot of related artists, like it shows the related people. Yeah. And so I clicked on their shit and then and went through all theirs. And then, of course, the Beatles, Rolling Stones, and like the 70s, 60s, and 70s. All of those guys are amazing as well. Like just going back to that, because most people our age,
don't listen to it
as consistently. They might have, they might know about it, but they don't really
on a routine.
Like, routine.
Would you say is that more towards the jazz side or classical, or like or just the people you met? Like, I'm not too familiar.
The Rolling Stones and Beatles are not jazz, but the ones before, that's like more.
Yeah, the ones you listen
from. I'd say, I don't know, 40s to 60, like around there.
Because I have one good friend of mine. He listens to a lot of classical music too.
Yeah. The classical is different though. Classical is more like a piano.
Gotcha.
And, I forget the guy's name. He's very famous. Forget the man's name.
Oh, classical artist?
Yeah, yeah. Mozart? And maybe that's a guy. Know. I'm pretty sure he's classical music. Like one with the piano. It's
I think it's him.
Yeah. I should know that shit, bro. But yeah, that's more, I think that was long before, when 1800s or something like that, somewhere around that time. But this is more recent in history, in terms of history.
And another part of me, like, I feel like there's so many different type of songs, like, and music in general. Like, I see it, it's like everywhere, like from TikTok to NBA games to like football, like you always be hearing music. And like, I just think that, and it's crazy, like a lot more people younger than me now. Like when I was growing up, I never really listened to like hip hop rap. But, like there's so many young kids now that are always rapping away these lyrics. I'm like, wow, like you guys are on this type of music too already. It's crazy because some of it is so explicit, right? And I'm like, you're still a little young, but like the world is changing so quickly. Like it's just like some of the things I used to do growing up, I would order like some of the things I do now. Like,
they're already doing
it. It's like, wow, what day and age do we live in now?
I know. It's insane. The growth that's taken place from, because of this information, like we grew up with the internet, but not as like not this as, form.
Yeah, definitely not.
This form of the internet. We had like maybe the first generation iPads and shit like that. Yeah. The iPods.
The fucking, I still remember.
Like when the touchscreen started to come out.
iTouch or some shit. Like I remember we got that. I think we have it back in our cupboard somewhere. I don't know.
But now like all this stuff with this, computer and like this setup, basically you could record music with this setup and shit. Like people could record a full fucking album with this.
It was so fucking funny because last year me and my friends tried to make some music in quarantine. Obviously we would just be speaking into the freaking phone, right? Because we didn't have any like type of mics like this. Yeah. And we came out with this song. It was so dumb. Like, but it was like, like, you know, pastime.
Yeah.
And I was like, people actually do this. Like, this is how it starts.
Move the microphone a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but like, it's like, you know, this is exactly how people start. Like, I think Billie Eilish, was she the one that, I think she made a whole album in her bedroom. Really? I don't know if it was true or not because somebody told me that. I think it might be true because I think it might have been one of her earlier albums. Really? Because I haven't really gotten much into her music. I heard she's super, super good. She's won so many awards.
I don't listen to it on a consistent basis, but I know
I've heard it here and there, of course. But I don't listen to consistently either.
Yeah, but it's definitely possible. I think the application uses Logic Pro, and you just, if you have that, you could do anything.
Yeah.
Like literally that application, you could download it on any computer, laptop.
Is it a Microsoft application?
I don't know. Think so, right? I think it might be only Apple. It might be.
Oh, okay.
But usually before then, you would have to go to the studio and they would have different, like this, imagine this, but bigger, and it would do reverb and you basically change the frequency of the sound, and you'd have faders and gains and this and that, like all that in a studio. But now you could just get a plugin, which is that thing. Somebody just basically made all those machines digital and put it on a computer. So all those plugins you could just use. I know Charlie Charlie Puth, right?
He
on his TikTok is just basically him making music. Like he just picks up random sounds. Like I heard one time he was just, he's like, I need a kicking sound. So he went like this and then just basically kicked the door and literally just recorded that, like put the microphone there and fucking kicked it. And kick the wall.
That's so many creative ideas. Like people come out like it's like I would never have thought of this. Like
literally, that's what I noticed. You do that, and then he like looped it, and so that's the like a nice little bass. For the song or whatever.
I think beats, like the beat, like the production aspect of a song or album is so important. So important because like obviously the lyrics matter, but like now
just this is here. I'll help.
Yeah, no, what so I was saying, like the lyrics, obviously there's going to be a bunch of different type of lyrics. Some don't have meaning, some do.
Yeah.
But the beats, I feel like that can really make it or break a song. I feel like knowing like the back, like just, I feel like I've listened to so much songs that have no meaning. The lyrics have no meaning, but I listen to it because of the beat, because it's so good.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I feel like a lot of artists have been starting to figure out recently. Or like, I think it's not just recently, but in general, like having a good beat.
Or I think it's become more for the general public to praise the producer more. I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew what a producer was, but now you're seeing their fucking faces. Like we know who Hit Boy is. Yeah. We know all these different producers.
Metro Boomin.
Yeah. Metro Boomin. Mm-hmm. And all these guys are now being noticed for the production side of things. Yeah. And it's not only that. I had an artist on a few months ago. His name's Seventh Heaven. He makes like EDM music and stuff like that. And he records his music and stuff, but he said there's a lot more to just the vocals and production. You gotta like mix and master. Yeah.
There's a lot all to that it. Stuff. There's like, a lot there's, to it. I've seen those DJ things. Like, I don't know if that's what product exactly is, but like, it's so complicated. I'm like, wow. Like,
the DJ thing is also, that's on another level too.
Yeah.
And
making music is obviously difficult, but like once you I don't know if you've seen, there's been like a lot of documentaries on Netflix, like regarding like music. There's been Travis Scott's Look Mom, I Can Fly. I think Ariana Grande had one. Shawn Mendes. I don't think I watched them all, but I've seen a couple of trailers. Yeah,
I think I've seen the Travis Scott one.
Yeah, and it's just like seeing how they make that song and make that, what goes behind it. Because we're just the consumers, right? We just hear it. We go to Spotify, we cook the song, we listen to it.
Yeah.
We don't know how much like times they rewrite the song. They rewrite the lyrics or change the beat. Like it's crazy. Like I think in Travis's, like he was in like a corner, he put like a little blanket over himself and he was like rapping the lyrics. I think it might have been No Bystanders verse.
Really?
So it was crazy. I was like, wow, like I didn't know this much went into it. Like and it takes so many different people. Like there's obviously those people that are just, you know, that one single shot, they do everything. Mm-hmm. But it's like a huge team. Like it's literally running a business, I feel like.
Yeah, it is music, it's, right? So it's like, it consumes everything that you think about, everything about your life is just
and
that.
Some people have like some people especially have noticed more of the R&B and pop side, like the lyrics have so much more meaning towards it, and I really listen to it and I'm like, wow, like there's actually trying to say something here. Obviously the rap is so fast sometimes I don't even understand, but when it comes to pop music, especially Billie Eilish, I feel like she does have a lot of meaning behind what she says, and a lot of other artists as well.
Definitely. But you said about the creators and how us as consumers don't know the process.
Yeah.
Something that's helped me is going on this journey of creating the podcast is learning about all the different aspects of all this shit, like XLR cables and this and that. And for me, like that's with anything, with music especially, there's so much involved that we don't know about and that some part of me doesn't want to know, because if I start to understand how to make music and shit, that's what when I talked to Seventh Heaven, he said, sometimes it ruins the music for me because I know what I want it to sound like and I know what to do to make it better and shit. So
I know what you're talking about. Like once you start listening to music, like, oh, this is not good because of this. You start like always be judging music, like always be critiquing it. You never really like just
enjoy
listen to it
for
what
it is. Yeah. And so I think that's something that artists might struggle with, but that's one of the reasons like that I don't want to know how to make music.
That can be so applied. I feel like that can be applied to a lot of different professions. I feel like athletes too, like, and weightlifting. Like, I'm obviously not a pro, but when I see people like doing this type of workout, so like, I can tell their form is so messed up. Yeah. And I would only know that because like, I've been doing it for so long. Same thing with the basketball player, knowing that like, I go play basketball. Or maybe I'm playing because I don't play as much basketball. Someone notices me like, yo, you're doing this wrong. Mm. And they start critiquing everything. They don't just accept it for what it is. Yeah. Like, oh, he doesn't know much. Just let him run.
Yeah.
Or like same thing with weightlifting. Like obviously sometimes doing it bad can be more harm, does more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a really good point to make because it doesn't just, I feel like, happen in only in music. I feel like it happens in a lot of
different areas. Definitely. But to those who do find it like interesting or passionate, like they want to do it, fucking go out and do that.
And
shit.
I feel like there's so many good people out there that actually want to like in the profession, like they know what they're obviously masters at their craft. Right. And they're willing to help others and they're willing to like, there's obviously going to be some people that come up to you, maybe like, oh, you're fucking doing your form wrong. Like, okay, thank you. Like that was rude. But there's also like, even in basketball, like, oh, you did this wrong. But it's like, there's also people that let me show you the right way. So like you can do it better the next time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I definitely like, oh, I'm like, oh geez, thanks. You know,
if like, somebody like shits on you for doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But if somebody says, hey, let me help you for this reason.
Yeah,
then you're going to be, okay, let me learn something new.
Yeah. I think that's
a different approach.
Definitely. Right. Definitely. I feel like that I've seen that a lot happen in basketball. Like there's so many people that do it wrong. Right. I'm obviously no pro, but I kind of know some basic ideas, right. It'd be like, oh no, take the ball, shoot it, put it like, grip it like this, shoot it like this, flick your wrist, you know, set your feet, just basic stuff that maybe not many people know because they haven't had much experience in it. And I think the same thing that can happen in like investments and just investments obviously is different, but like having people guide you because you're going to lose some along the way, right? If you like, you know, money or whatnot, and having the right people to tell you exactly how to help you, not just like, oh, look, you blew your money away in this stock, right? Good.
Yeah.
You figure that shit out. But like,
I think the people that help understand that they're not going to lose if other people have the knowledge. Like
some
people, for some reason, there's been an idea that if somebody is successful, that takes some invisible pie of success and somebody like takes more. Like,
no, that's so fucking dumb because like you're thinking, I don't want to help them because they're going to know more than me. That's such bullshit thinking. It's like, no, like someone genuinely needs help. Helping them is not going to only help them. It's going to help you too.
Exactly.
Because maybe they give you some type of insight that you didn't originally know about.
Yeah.
Right. They can give you another way of thinking, another outlook. Mm-hmm. Maybe they needed help. And a lot of other people were having the same type of issue that person was having. You don't know that.
Yeah.
Right. So.
And it's like, success to me is abundance. Like there's no shortage of success. Anybody and everybody can have success in their own right, that whatever they want. I don't know the definition that other people have, but whatever it is for you,
yeah,
I mean it's there. Like
don't think
that there's a limited supply of whatever it is you want.
Like, yeah, 100%. Obviously not. Like there's so much room for potential for anybody, and it's just, it's the mindset. It's definitely all mindset. It's way easier said than done, but it's obviously how you think and how you perceive things, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just having the right, exactly, like mindset, knowing who to talk to, when to talk to people, when to take action, when to not take action, like all different combination of things really can help define a success for a person, right? And like success is different for each individual.
Mm-hmm.
But,
And that's what, like artists, like we talk about, deal with that to create music, where music comes from thought. Really, like
they jot down so much, like it's crazy. Like in the what was it, the documentaries, it's like you're just walking away, you know, they're just pacing around trying to think of lyrics, like it takes such a long time to go into an album, making an album, because there's obviously going to be like, let's say average album, what, like 12-13 tracks maybe, and then having a different beat on each one, having a different vocals, having maybe different features on each one, and then combining it all to make sure it sounds well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's definitely an art form, and mastering it, so many people have mastered it in the industry. I feel like so many.
It's getting into a creative state like that. There's a state of mind that I've noticed that I've got into where if I have an idea and I see the end result of it in my mind, I know exactly what to do to get there. Like exactly. If I want a certain image and I want to create on Photoshop, I know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
But with music and creation, it's when you say, I want to create an album, right? You want 12 songs, whatever songs you want. Now there's so many intertwining parts with it that, like, to me, it's insane how it all comes together. Like you have to come up with
There's so many different things that come into it.
All of it like comes together into a full album, and it's and you're gonna double guess it so many times, like you're gonna think that this sucks and this one's better and I should rewrite this verse. It's not as good, or there's like so much of that.
Yeah.
When really, and to the consumer, I've learned not to judge the creator at all.
Yeah.
Like, cause they're not trying, they're not going out and saying, here's some like shit that I don't even like, and they're putting it out there.
Yeah.
They're trying to put music or content on YouTube videos or whatever. They're trying to make the best things possible that they know how with the things they have.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point to make, because obviously no one's trying to make shitty music. That's I don't think that's anyone's goal, right? They're obviously, everyone has their own different style, the people they work with, where they work, depending on how much money they have, how much resources they have, right? It's all up to that individual's own potential. They, how far can somebody go if they don't literally have the resources to do so? So you have to appreciate, because not all, it's true, not all music is going to be good to, and it depends on the person. It depends on the person listening to the song. Maybe I like a song that you don't like. Mm-hmm. Maybe my mom likes a song that I don't like. Like, it just depends on person's taste and how they perceive the song. Like you said, we all mentioned earlier, perception. But I feel like with music specifically, I think the more, like, you know, the artists, like, once they experiment, like, different type of things, I noticed that, like, sometimes they may not mix well, sometimes it does. Mm-hmm. It's just, and I also noticed that, like, listening to an album on the first try or first run.
Oh, yeah,
like,
definitely.
That, I used to judge so much. Like, we'd be like, oh, Drake album came out. Let me hear the first song. I'm like, oh, this is trash. Like, you know, I didn't like this. And then I'm like, you know what? Let me, give me 2-3 weeks. Let me listen to this over and over, like, multiple times. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
This is actually pretty good. And I think that's what I noticed about music a lot. I feel like, especially after, I forgot which album. I think it was another album that came out last year. I don't remember which one. And then I started to realize, I'm like, you know what, let me listen to this multiple times. Mm-hmm. Like, let me really listen to it. And it's like, you know what, it's actually pretty good.
Go like listen to it with your headphones, listen to it in the car. Listen to it like different places, and then you'll start to understand like why this person created it and why they put it on the album and all this stuff. It's it shows you that, like, don't judge a book by its cover. Like,
exactly. And I think a lot of music, there's different stories to tell, maybe there's not, but like I just said, the first listen is obviously not going to be good. Like, I don't think there's been very, very few songs I've come across. The first time I listened to this, I'm like, oh my God, I love this. Like, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, it could be good. I like the beat.
Especially if we expect it. Like, if we expect an album and then we have a high expectation
and
of it.
Underperforms. And underperforms. Then I think I noticed that, especially with Drake's album, Certified Lover Boy. Yeah. I had so much, like, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so good. I listened to the first two songs or whatever, like, I think it's Champagne Poetry, and then I forgot what the second one was. I'm like, this is not that great. And then I'm like, you know what? Like, I listened to it over and over again, and I listened to it for a month, basically, and then I was like, wow, this is actually, I like it. I enjoy it. It's a good album. I think it's one of the best albums of the year.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not, like, his best work. I think his best work is... if you're reading this, it's too late.
Yeah, I think one of his older albums, definitely
fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's
literally
great.
No skips.
Yeah, I think what was the first album of his, with the one where Marvin's Room and
Take
I don't
Care.
Know if, I don't think that's Take the Care. First one. Sorry, Take Care.
Yeah,
but I think that's my favorite album from Drake. Mm-hmm. But I don't exactly remember all the songs, but I do remember. I still have a lot
that's,
of them.
I think one of the first that's one of the first album that I listened to. Of Drake's. Fully, and I was like, this guy's fucking amazing.
He's so good.
Yeah,
but I agree. Certified Lover Boy is not his best work. That's, I think a lot of people can agree on that. But it's not bad. Like, it's listenable. Like, it's, there's good songs.
But
on
he
there.
Knows exactly how to fucking do it. When he put that Way Too Sexy video out,
oh my God!
Like, you already know that shit's, that's still number one. Yeah, that's still number one just because of that video.
It's still number one.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's insane. It's that still, video is so funny though.
Yeah.
When I first fucking saw it, I was like, oh my God, it's so funny. That's funny. And then they got Kawhi Leonard on there too. Yeah, then all my friends were laughing. I'm like, no way, that's Kawhi.
Bro, like, no. That's crazy. But he knows how to. He knows strategically how to do things in music now.
Like, yeah, because he has so much experience, right? Like, he knows. He knows. He definitely knows.
Yeah.
And I think what I also like is obviously like with Travis specifically, like how he started his own label, Cactus Jack, and like how he has people under him now, like Don Toliver, and like there's a lot of other artists.
Yeah.
But I feel like also with Drake, like the music per se. Like, obviously the music is big, his music, but like the way what he does outside of music is so big, right? And I feel like Kanye was the one that really did a lot of things outside of music initially. Mm-hmm. Initially, obviously everyone has, like, a lot of big artists do now. They're in so many different commercials, shoes, whatnot. But that's, I feel like, what's really big and helps them grow. I think Travis especially grew so much last year because he was like PlayStation, right? McDonald's. What else? There was so many other different things. Fortnite. Remember that?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like that. And I think that's really, really what's helped them grow, especially outside, and like seeing Drake at all those courtside Raptor games, right?
Yeah.
And
he gets on the broadcast too. He's like, he commentates on them.
Yeah, that's funny.
I was watching one of them recently. He's like, you could see when Fred Van Fleet, I think this was in the 2019 season.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yo, look at this man. He has a 10. He's like, came back from the Turks.
I don't think I heard this. I don't know. I think I might have. So he literally goes behind those two people commentating.
No. He's his seat. I'm pretty sure they just fucking gave him that seat. Like, that's his whenever he comes. And it's right next to the commentator's box. And so
you could hear.
They just give him a headset.
Oh, they give it. Oh, my God. That's so
And he's
funny.
Just there commentating so for funny. Like 10 minutes. Like, they let him go off. Like, whatever. They sometimes ask questions and shit. But that's so fun to hear. Like, especially. And I think it's only on the Toronto broadcast.
Toronto broadcast. Yeah.
So it's amazing to listen to that shit.
Yeah, it's probably no, I don't think I've ever heard of that, but I know, I'm pretty sure that happened.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
mostly like it's so hard to watch the Laker games for me now because first of all, we don't get the channel, so that's another issue. And then I'll always be work. I was like doing things, going. I'm like always out at school, and it's like, it's so tough. Like, I've grown up watching Laker games. Like, it's my thing. And it's like, you know, so it's tough to find time to watch them. But I usually catch up on highlights the next day.
Mm-hmm.
If I miss the game, because obviously can't watch
a Laker game yesterday. Yeah, and I was watching it.
Yeah,
but we had like some type of scheduled power outage.
Oh, you
did? For from a certain time. I think like 8 something or something, somewhere around that when it was on. And so I was like, all right, I can't the Wi-Fi turned off and shit.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm like, all right,
that's happened before.
Yeah. And
so I just watched the highlights
I just watched it.
Yeah.
But usually I watch the games, and it's this season has been rough in the beginning, but now it seems
better.
Good. Yeah. Like,
I think it'll get better. I think
they played the Rockets
twice.
They both won both.
I think
of them.
I noticed about the Lakers is like they have to gel together a little bit because these people have never played together, especially adding Westbrook into the mix.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to, obviously, I think they have a lot of potential. They still have some injured players too. And like THT is still hurt, I think. Yeah. And I still think, like I said, I would still say they're one of the stronger teams in the West, but it's just they need to gel together. They need time.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. But
it's always fun watching them now that they're because for a long time, they just sucked, like from 2010 or like 11, like from that to when LeBron first came.
Yeah.
Like
It
was a long period.
It was bad. It was like Robert Sacre in those days, right? Yeah. I remember that. Jordan Hill, right? I remember all those days.
Yeah. And now it's back to being Lakers basketball, and you could just hear the stadium is different. Like, even on the telecast, you could hear that it's a sold out crowd every single night.
It's loud.
In Staples
Center. Yeah. I've been to quite a few Laker games over the past couple of years, but I've always wanted to go to a playoff game. Never got around to it because half the time Lakers weren't even in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year we got bounced in the first round, right? And COVID 2020 was in the bubble.
Yeah,
so I'm hoping this year
they won
we make
that
the
year.
Playoffs. Yeah, they won that year too. I'm hoping this year I get around to go. We'll see.
Yeah. So well, hopefully they make it far. Yeah.
I think they will. I think they can.
Yeah.
I think it's all about team chemistry.
And
they have the talent. They definitely have the talent. I think two big factors are they got to stay healthy. I think that's one of the main ones.
Yeah.
That's from what we know last year. And then second one, they got to have some good chemistry and work together. So
yeah, but this NBA season is amazing. Like
Chicago,
I love
Miami,
it.
And the East rising teams.
That's fun.
Chicago, they got DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball now.
Mm.
Kind of regretting getting rid of Lonzo, huh? Pretty good.
I think he's better. He's better over there. Like he wouldn't even play
with Lakers.
That much if Lakers,
because Westbrook. Yeah. So
he starts in Chicago. So
yeah, he does. Yeah.
That's a much better.
Chicago's a great team. And obviously Atlanta was deep too last year. They had a really deep team.
And,
I don't know how they're doing this year, but
the Knicks are good now. Like
fucking
when I watch the Knicks games in Madison Square Garden, now I realize
you've been to a game in Madison Square.
No.
Oh, okay.
I might go in December.
Oh, like, shit.
I might
go
to New York. Yeah. But in watching the games now, like in the 90s and shit, when the Knicks were good, people would be like, this is the mecca of basketball.
Yeah.
Because it's such a great place to watch it. And now I understand why. Like, the fans are crazy over there. Like, they love basketball.
I heard that term.
Part of New York City. Yeah.
I said, like, that's the mecca of basketball. Like,
I
think that stadium is a really nice stadium, too. Like, I've never been to New York, but from what I've seen and seen games in there and watched them when the Lakers obviously play them. So, that's definitely good basketball city.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, you had to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, it's 3:20. We'll wrap it up. See, it's already, like about an hour 15. So yeah, thanks again for coming on, man. This was a fun conversation.
Definitely. And, I had a lot of fun too. Yeah. Getting to know you a little
Hopefully
more.
Hopefully we could do it again sometime, and do it longer or something.
Definitely.
When you have more time. But until then, thank you for coming on. Thank you everybody for listening and watching. Hopefully you enjoyed it as well.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Peace, everybody.